Good evening, everyone. Nice to sit with you. As usual. Tonight I like to start with a verse from the Bible. I don't know exactly which book it is, but I think it comes from the Bible. The verse says, "For everything there is a season." I think that's said in a song also. "But for everything there is a season. And if there is any time of your life, right now, you have a great opportunity, we do, to touch the deep wisdom of nature." Now, when Randy and I were retreating for many, many years, every place we went, all over the United States, it was always in the forest. It was always secluded. And in the middle of nature. So, it's time. If we do not know how to touch the deep wisdom of nature, because it's healing. And there's nothing we have to do except be there. And so Randy and I drove to Round Top this last week, and we've gone that way many, many times. And it's the time of the year where, you know, everything's beginning to shine in the hill country and in Texas. And we were reminded of what a lovely place in which we live. We're so lucky. Of course, we have 7 acres in the hill country. And right now, at least a half acre, maybe a little less, of mountain laurels are in full bloom. You talk about magical. You go out the door, either front door or the back door, and you get this wonderful smell. Actually, it seems like I'm at a party with everybody opening some, Grapettes. Thank you, Randy. Grapettes. I mean, it is a really beautiful smell. And the Buckeyes are budding, and the wildflowers are beginning to emerge. The verbenas are already up, and the bluebonnets on our land are a little late this year, but the plants are there. We just don't have the bluebonnet yet. Hummingbirds have come back, so we see them. And so the oak trees, they are in the final days of losing their leaves. They're everywhere. So driving to Round Top, we notice the red buds. I mean, it's a wonderland. And whenever I'm feeling grateful, I always mentioned the two things I'm most grateful for is, of course, Randy, but where I live. I'm so grateful for that because I know I've been in the forest with a quiet mind before. I have been with nature for long periods of time. In silence. And there's not only a deep wisdom, but there is an even deeper perception of what life has to offer. So I'm reminded that during the start of a new season, we need nature to show us the way on. And the way out of the prison of our own minds. And I can remember when we were in the middle of our careers, and anytime we had time off, when we had them throughout the year, periodically, we'd run to a retreat. Zoe had busy, 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 and then, a retreat. Needless to say, it took a couple of days to settle in. But we could tell we got lost in doing, we got lost in thinking, we get lost in remembering, anticipating, lost in a maze of complexity, in a world of problems. So we've forgotten what the rocks, the plants, the animals, sky, the cloud still know. We've forgotten how to be still. Ooh, that stillness. To be ourselves. To be where life is. In the present moment. Here and now. Whenever we bring our attention to anything that's natural. Anything that has come into existence without human intervention. We step out of the prison of conceptualized thinking. Think about that. And to some extent, participate in a state of connectedness with being in which everything natural still exists. We forget. And so the right effort is to take ourselves to nature, to fall into nature. Do whatever it takes. So to bring our attention to a stone or a tree or an animal doesn't mean that we think about them, but simply to perceive them and holding them in our awareness is enough. Because really, in that process, some of its essence then transmits to us. We feel it. We know it. And we can sense how still everything is. And in doing the same stillness, and doing that in the same stillness, our own stillness arises. So we sense how deeply it rests in being completely at one with what it is, what is and where it is. And in realizing this, we too come to a place of rest deep, deep inside. And that's a must. I had no idea. The depth of solitude, and that there's silence for in silence, in silence, in silence. So in realizing this, we too come to a place of rest deep within ourselves. When walking or resting in nature, we can honor that realm by just fully being there, being still. Look, listen, see how every animal and every plant is completely itself. Butterflies flying around, bees, bumblebees, with the mountain laurels out in our, on our land, we'd have every kind of precious bug you can think of. Unlike humans, animals and the plants have not split themselves in two. I don't even know how. They do not live through mental images of themselves. So they don't need to be concerned with trying to protect and enhance those images. But somehow we are conditioned to do that. The deer is itself. The verbena is itself. And when I'm around them, it's easy to be who I am. And all things in nature, not only one with themselves, but they also one with totality. They haven't removed themselves from the fabric of the whole, as we have done, by claiming that there is a separate existence, me, that we're other than nature, or other than the totality. So the contemplation of nature can free us from that self-centered, egoic way of living moments, because maintaining that image of ourselves, it's really a great troublemaker. The ego is just a big troublemaker. And the air that we breathe is nature, as is the breathing process itself. And all of this phenomena, it can be honored and have a sense of greatness and gratitude. Even when we bring our attention to our breathing, we realize we're not doing it. Or if we are controlling it, we're not meditating. It's the breath of nature. If we had to remember to breathe, we'd soon die. But guess what? If we tried to stop breathing, nature would just pop in and prevail. We'd start breathing again. So we reconnect with nature in the most intimate and powerful way by becoming aware of our own breathing and learning to hold our attention. Ah, sometimes I'll hear Randy, "Where are you?" I'm out on the blacktop, laying on my back. Here lately, the blacktop has been very warm, and looking up at the sky. Why? Because of just that, the experiences that I have had about what that does. So, we connect with it all by becoming aware of our breathing and learning to hold our attention there. And this is healing and deeply empowering thing to do. And it's right at our disposal. We are in a beautiful area. Sometimes when Randy and I go to another beautiful area, we reflect, now why are we leaving this beautiful area? Oh, to go to this beautiful area. So it brings about a shift in consciousness from the conceptual world of thought. We go inside to the inner realm of unconditional consciousness. And that's who we are. That's where we live. That's where we are 100% being a human being. Eckhart Tolle says, only when you are still inside do you have access to the realm of stillness that rocks, plants, and animals inhabit. Only when your nosy, no, not your nosy mind. It is definitely your noisy mind subsides. Can you connect with nature and at a deep level and go beyond the sense of separation created by what other but excessive thinking? He says that thinking is just a stage in the evolution of life. That nature exists in innocent stillness that is prior to the arising of thought. The tree, the flower, the bird, the rock are unaware of their own beauty and sacredness. When we become still, we go beyond thought. There is an added dimension of knowing, of awareness in the stillness, and that stillness is beyond thought. Have you noticed we're starting to go back to the woods? I mean, Randy and I have always been in the woods one way or the other, but as a nation, we're going back to the woods. The state and the national parks used to not be full. We would go and we could get a place the next day. Well, we've been wanting to go to another beautiful place. And there were very little openings. We had to wait a couple of weeks. But this is something that we're seeing all over this nation. People are going, people especially who do not live on 7 acres like Randy and I do, but then we still do too. That's where they're taking their families. There's something that has happened in this pandemic that had enabled us to see how precious that is. And so you see whole families, and the parks are full, the state and national. So get them in, you know, you have to make your reservations early. Before the park seemed that they were never full, and it takes weeks of planning to get one. Even in the wonders of our 7 acres, where many of the native plants around this area, the hill country, still strive. It's Native American land. It is precious. So you can understand why all we have to do is walk out the door. But again, if we walk out the door involved completely within our minds or somewhere else, we might as well be, well, we're in the prison. So, homework. Your homework is to make a date with nature. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be the park. It can be your backyard. But where nature is the main course. And just be reflective of this lesson. Do you actually sense or experience a spaciousness, another dimension? What effect does it have? Because the more we become aware and experience it, the more compelling it is. And so tonight we'll begin our question and answer with feedback from last week's homework. Do you remember what that was? I didn't write it down, so I forgot it. No, I didn't. I just now remembered it because we did practice it. It was the sacred pause. And so Randy told you last week that we have this beautiful, we don't know what to call it, from a friend, you turn it upside down, and sometimes And it's a very sweet little tone. When it rings, then we would pause. But we wouldn't pause. We probably 10 seconds, 15 seconds. And sometimes it's in a row, but then with time, you've forgotten. It wasn't easy. It's not easy stopping, especially when you're a big doer like I am. But it was a relief. Not every time. Sometimes it was very irritating. But I really was glad that I participated in it. That I made sure that I understood the value of the sacred pause. And so, with that, I'll stop and Randy will come up and we'll start with anyone who wants to talk about if and what they did in practicing any feedback on their sacred pause. Thank you.